Good morning. Thank you very much for waiting, and we would like to welcome everyone to the CPFL Energia 3Q19 earnings conference call. Today with us, we have Mr. Gustavo Estrella, CEO of CPFL Energia, and Mr. Pan, CFO and Investor Relations Officer, as well as other officers of the company. The presentation will be available for download at the company's website, cpfl.com.br/investor-relations. We would like to inform you that all participants will be in listen-only mode during the conference, during the company presentation. Afterwards, there will be a question and answer session when further instructions will be given. Should you need assistance during the call, please press star zero for an operator. It's important to mention that this call is being recorded. Before proceeding, we would like to mention that forward-looking statements are being made under the safe harbor of the Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1996. Forward-looking statements are based on beliefs and assumptions of CPFL Energia's management and information currently available to the company. Forward-looking statements are not guarantees of performance. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions because they relate to future events and therefore they depend on circumstances that may or may not occur. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors may also affect the future results of CPFL Energia and may cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Now we would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Gustavo Estrella. Mr. Estrella, you may proceed. Good morning, everybody. I thank you very much for your presence in the third quarter of 19 conference call. Let's go to slide number 3 of the presentation with the highlights for the third quarter. And the first two ones refer to our result. The EBITDA reached 1.618 billion reals, a growth of 4.5%. Our net income, 748 million, growing by 19.4%. And later on, we will see that from the view, we have not seen a recovery of the consumption of energy, but the results are good in EBITDA and net income lines. Our net debt was 16.8 billion reals with a leverage of 2.68 times our net debt EBITDA ratio. Here already considering the acquisition of the CPFL Renováveis shares that occurred in the first half, 99.94% already consolidated under the CPFL group. One important highlight has to do with the investments. We invested in the quarter 616 million reals, a growth of 17% vis-a-vis 2018. And we continue delivering the investment of 2.2 billion reals during the full year of 2019 on this track. Very good news have to do with the tariff review of CPFL Piratininga. We will be talking about this in detail later on, but the final effect is a negative adjustment of 7.8% for our customers, an increase in 6.2% in Parcel B, and the effect is the transfer of the loan of CCR, and this causes this important drop in the tariff, and this is very important for our customers. As I said before, we have already finished the transfer of shares of CPFL Renováveis, 4.1 billion reals being paid, and the value per share, 16.85, and the process has already been concluded. So we have Renováveis almost 100% integrated into the CPFL group. And with that, our installed capacity for generation is 4.3 gigawatts. Already considering the new participation of CPFL Renováveis. We also had an important recognition on GIA Exam, the sustainability index, as the most sustainable company in the area of energy, highlighted the CFL Vida the hospitals program, by means of which the program with energy efficiency program. We will have 150 million reals being invested over the next 3 years in order to have solar energy installed in our area. So this recognition from GSM is very important. We also have another highlight having to do with the community, with the projects of the CPFL Institute. Now let's go to slide number 4, in which we give you more details about the tariff revision of CPFL Piratininga. RAB 3.8 billion reals, net regulatory asset base 2.487, parcel B corresponding to 9 to 1 million, and the regulatory EBITDA 460 million. On the chart, you can see on the lower part of our slide a growth vis-a-vis the fourth cycle of tariff review, growing by 34%, 117 million in growth, vis-a-vis our regulatory EBITDA of the fourth quarter, 460 million reals. In the comparison with the fourth cycle, restated or updated considering the effects of the write-offs and depreciations and the monetary restatement, we see an even higher growth, 47% growth, vis-a-vis the basis for the fourth cycle, of course, with a better expectation of regulatory EBITDA and an expectation of growth in our results for the next few years. And getting into more details, as I said before, the positive effect of the growth of parcel B, 6.17%. The main effect here is the increase in our investments made in BRR. We see that we have an incremental growth of 69 million reals and also an increase in the average rate of depreciation. In the reduction of the parcel A, the main highlight is the end of loans of CCE, a reduction of 300 million reals practically in our parcel A, which brings about a major reduction in our tariff for our end customers. Now let's go to slide number 5, in which we see our sales performance. As I said, it's a challenging quarter, with no clear signs of a recovery in consumption in our concession areas. Here we see a reduction of load in our concession area, 0.3%, and sales in the concession area, 1.8% drop. And when you have the difference between these two ratios, it is because you have a recovery in the market at the end of the quarter that still does not affect our sales, but it does affect our load. What we have been seeing now going to the fourth quarter, mainly in October, we see a recovery in consumption already, mainly because of the temperature effect. We already get a little bit of this effect at the end of the third quarter, and it has an impact on sales that we will be seeing in the fourth quarter of 19. When we look at the consumption classes, industrial is a highlight with a drop of 4%. And what we did here on this table on the right side is to break down this drop in order to see from where it comes. And we see that there is a calendar effect that is not a real effect of market and migration of some clients that today are connected directly to the base grid. So there is no direct relationship with the consumption of energy and also GDE with 0.1. And if you isolate all the effects, you see the macroeconomic effect, that is to say the performance of the industrial classes with a drop of 2.4%, lower than the 4%, but still a very negative effect on industrial consumption. Once again, talking about a more recent consumption expectation, we see some signs already, very timid signs of recovery in consumption in the fourth quarter. It's a little bit better than the third, but still a performance along the same lines of 2018. On slide number 6, delinquency and energy losses. Regarding delinquency, we see an improvement in delinquency comparing to the second quarter of 2019. Basically, the trend that we identify here over this year, 2019, after an important increase at the end of last year. We see that in the first quarter of 2019, our ADA was 68 million, going down to 64 million and going down now to 61 million. This is a positive trend in delinquency, but still much higher than the third quarter of 2018. With a very intensive action of decrease in delinquency on the lower left part, you see our collection actions with a growth of 10.8% in the volume of cuts, 589,000 cuts on an annual base. We intend to have 2.2 million in cuts in our concession area, our disconnections. In terms of losses, we closed the quarter with 9.31%, slightly higher than June 2019. Here we also see a calendar effect in terms of billings, and this affects our calculation of losses the way this is done. Our expectation is of a real growth of losses, and this is a calendar adjustment that should be offset in the fourth quarter of 2019. Slide number seven, we see our hydrological scenario with an important drop in the level of reservoirs in our national interconnected system, with an expectation for November to close at 21.4, one of the lowest levels in our historical series. This also brings about a bigger reliance during the period that starts now, with an expectation of recomposition of these levels in the next few months. It should continue to affect our PLD or spot price because it has been consistently superior to the 2018 levels. This is an expectation that it continues to be under pressure over the next few months. Slide number eight now, renewable generation. We have the three sources and the CPFL Renováveis with a performance, a practically flat performance in biomass, growing by 8 gigawatts hour of energy generation, a drop of 35 gigawatt hour in our SHPPs in the south region and also in Minas and São Paulo. The main effect comes from our wind mills, a drop of 169 gigawatts hour, especially due to the reduction in generation or wind. You can see on the chart a drop of 10 percentage points on an annual comparison, 3Q 2018 and 3Q 2019. Here we also see a certain recovery as of October, but still lower than the levels of the P50. Now I would like to give the floor to Pan, our CFO, and he will be talking about the results of the group in the third quarter. Good morning, everyone. Now let's go to slide number nine. The EBITDA in this quarter was 1.6 billion reais, with an increase of 4.5%. In the distribution segment, we had an increase of 17.8%, and the main effects were 187 million reais of market effect, mainly due to the increases in the tariffs that we had during the last readjustment and by the load in our concession area. We also had a gain of 42 million because of the REB report of CPFL Piratininga. On the other hand, the financial asset of the concession had a drop of 78 million reais due to the lower IPCA this year. Lastly, an increase of 23 million reais in PMSO, highlighting the expenses with asset write-offs and also linked to our CapEx of 17 million reais, and also our expenses with pension funds, 6 million, and in the trading services and others segments, we saw a drop of 24.8%, and this happened because of CPFL Brazil that had a lower margin in 2019 due to the lower energy prices. On the next slide, we have the conventional generation segment, which had an EBITDA 0.5% higher, and the main effects were the transfer of inflation to the contracts amounting to 32 million reais, the lower volume of hydro and thermal energy representing 17 million, and a non-typical effect that happened in 2018, which was a tax benefit amounting to 11 million reais. And at CPFL Renováveis, it dropped by 10% due to a lower generation of wind energy, 34 million, and write-off. And an increase in expenses by 6 million. And on the other hand, seasonality of contract generated a gain of 45 million due to a higher allocation of energy during this period. And I would like to remind you that this should be offset during the next quarter. On slide 11, we show you the net income performance, which was 748 million reals in this quarter, with an increase of 19.4% vis-a-vis 2018. Besides the 70 million variation in the EBITDA, the main effects were, in the financial result, it was an improvement of 147 million reals, which is due to the additional revenue that we have with the funds coming from the IPO and the CPFL cash that reached 56 million reals, and the reduction in interest rates and also in the net debt with a benefit of 53 million reals. The mark-to-market effect, 32 million, depreciation with a variation of 30 million reals. And there was an increase in taxes due to the better results, 65 million. On the next slide, we show the results year to date up to September. The EBITDA had an increase of 8.6%, 370 million reals, and net income going up by 26.5%, representing 396 million. In the EBITDA, I would like to highlight distribution that was favored by the tariff reviews that occurred in 2018. And in the other segments, we see that the weak performance of wind in the CPFL Renováveis units was offset by the good result obtained in the other ones. Now going to our net income, besides the positive effect of the EBITDA, we also had an improvement in the financial result of 268 million reals due to the lower indebtedness and the lower cost of debt. Added to the financial revenue from the IPO funds. Now let's go to the next slide about the company's indebtedness, in which we show in the first chart the evolution of the net debt EBITDA indicator. Thus, net debt amounted to 16.9 billion reals, and EBITDA in the last 12 months reached 6.3 billion reals. Net debt EBITDA ratio was 2.68 times. And this increase is due to a higher participation in CPFL Renováveis during this last period. And on the lower part of the slide, you can see the evolution of the nominal cost and the real cost of debt. The nominal cost reflects a change in the debt profile as from the end of 2018, and the real cost is also affected by the IPCA, which was 2.89% in the third quarter of 2019. And I would like to highlight the fact that 64% of the debt is pegged to the CDI. On slide number 14, we have our CapEx figures. In this quarter, we made an investment amounting to 616 million reals with an increase of over 17% on a year-on-year comparison. And per segment, we had in distribution a total invested of 550 million reals for the expansion and improvement in the system. And the year-to-date amount was 1.4 billion reals. For generation and transmission, we had 45 million reals for renovables, 8 million for transmission, and 2 million for conventional generation. For the transmission segment, I would like to highlight the beginning of the Maracanaú SU-1 and SU-2 projects, which were acquired during the 2018 auctions. And for the services segment, 10 million were invested. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. It will be in Portuguese with interpreting into English. If you want to ask a question, please press star 1. To remove your question from the queue, please press star 2. Our first question comes from Thiago Silva with Santander. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity. I have two questions. First, you mentioned in the beginning of the presentation a resumption in consumption volume in October. Given the temperature effect, could you give us more color in terms of how much is coming in your concession area, how much is coming from volume? I mean, if this is a shy resumption, or do you think it will come with more momentum? And considering the industrial segment as well. My second question has to do with growth. We know that we have the C3E distribution company to be sold and other distribution companies in the market. Are you considering those? And also, I'd like to know about transmission auctions, the next auction that will be held in December. Are you considering any lots that would make sense to you? Thank you very much. Thank you, Thiago. Okay, regarding your first question, resumption of volume and consumption. Indeed, we saw in October and in November signs of consumption recovery. Basically, in the residential segment because of the temperature. In October, average temperature was above the historical series, and so that drove consumption in the residential and commercial segments. Sorry for the interruption. In the industrial segment, we saw that in the third quarter, we have a 2.4% reduction in consumption. This is microeconomics. And what we see is that from October onwards, there is a certain resumption and remaining flat compared to 2018. So there is some improvement in the third quarter. So there is a certain resumption of growth. Our expectation for the years that we should end consumption on average 1.5% above the level of 2018. And a lot more concentrated on low voltage segments than on the industry. So this would be kind of the breakdown. I think the temperature has an important effect. We don't see a lot of signs of resumption of consumption by the industrial segment. Your second question has to do with growth. I guess that we have some good opportunities here, keeping in mind the short to midterm. Perhaps in the foreseeable future, we have the transmission auction. And following our strategy, we want to operate in niches. So there are some lots that fit our strategy. So we have an expectation of, yes, bidding in this auction in December for some lots that fit our strategies. Looking more to the mid to long term, as you mentioned, there are some important expectations of assets in the distribution area. And again, it has to fit our strategy by region, by location. So I think it makes sense to look at these assets that are possibly put in the market. You mentioned C3E and some others, and we will be looking into those for sure at the right time. But given our size and the relevance of CPFL in the market, we are definitely a consolidation player in the distribution segment. And regarding generation, with the completion of CPFL Renovables shares acquisition, we are now an investment player in new generation projects. Again, we are keeping this market in our radar. Excellent. Thank you. And just going back to my second question, there was some acquisition of Sempra assets in Chile. Did you get involved in that acquisition in terms of, did you help them? Could you speak about that? No, we didn't play a part there. Our strategy is very much geared to the Brazilian market, where we have a great competitive edge given our footprint in the market. And like I said, given that we have a number of new potential assets that we could invest in. So our expectation is that we will keep our focus on the Brazilian market. Other players have an approach of going more international, but they do it, not us. Excellent, thank you. Our next question comes from Gustavo Miele with Itaú BBA. Good morning, Estrella and Pan. Thank you for the presentation. I'd like to ask a question about CPFL Renovables. Perhaps it is the subsidiary that drew our attention the most in the results. But in a broader view, I would like to have you discuss the triggers for results of CPFL Renovables for the next 2 quarters. Anything regarding a lower cost that we could expect because of the integration to CPFL Energia after the follow-on? Anything we could expect in terms of a faster start-up of projects that are being built? And there is another question of a more regulatory nature. Have you conducted any study regarding the impact of the implementation of our prices in your renewable sources? Because we have talked with some wind players and they have different views regarding this point. Some expect a benefit from the implementation of this factor. Others expect a more negative impact, depending on the profile of wind that they have in their portfolio. Have you conducted any studies about that? Could you give us any number related to that? These are my questions. Thank you. Well, Gustavo, thank you for the question. This is Fernando speaking about CPFL Renovables. To try to address your first question in terms of results, as you mentioned, we are at the moment integrating CPFL Renovables and CPFL Energia processes. We are adopting the best practices. As we mentioned, we have an expectation of capturing synergies in PMSO as well as tax gains, considering an accumulated loss of about 2.4 million reais at CPFL Renováveis. There is also an expectation of reducing our cost of debt at CPFL Renováveis, and that we can observe, and we can actually see some of this impact in the recent months. Regarding the results, it is important to say that wind has been below expected along the year of 2019, but as you know, wind projection is done for a 20-year horizon, B50. So when we get our older farms that have been in operation for more than 10 years, such as is the case of Ceará, we have a generation very close to 100%. So it is normal to have a natural resource performing a little below expectation in the next year. In the following year, you can have a recovery in the following years. Speaking about spot price by hour, we are considering this topic at the company. It really depends on where the farm is located. A good deal of our farms are located in Rio Grande do Norte and Ceará states. Over there, winds tend to be stronger during the day. During the afternoon, it tends to be very windy in these regions. And that tends to generate a positive effect in terms of a spot price per hour. Other regions of Brazil have a different wind performance, but our farms are located particularly in locations where it tends to be more windy during the day. Perfect, Fernando. Thank you very much for the explanation. It's very clear. As a reminder, you just have to press star 1. Our next question comes from Luisa Kraus with Safra. Hello, good morning. I have two questions. Number one, in the distribution segment, particularly regarding regulatory EBITDA of the companies, I would like to know, how are the companies performing regarding the regulatory EBITDA, and particularly at Piratininga? This increase expected as of the fifth cycle will be captured in the coming months. And my second question is regarding the discos. Do they have any losses regarding over-contracting? And what are the measures taken regarding the migration of customers regarding energy contracting in the long term? Okay, this is Luis Henrique from Distribution. Regarding regulatory EBITDA, it is in keeping with the real one. Given the regulatory threshold, there are no great distortions here. It is very much in line. And regarding Piratininga, we start to see the effect in the next months and in the coming years. So this effect will start to be seen gradually in the next month, October, November, and subsequently. Regarding over-contracting, we don't have any problems. All of those customers that migrated to the free market, this is considered as voluntary. We are following it. We are using all of the mechanisms for exchange, for sale. In other words, we are managing over-contracting really well. This has not been an issue for us, and we've been managing it very well over the years. Regarding possible discussions about the past, well, we are discussing this with NEL according to the regulatory rules and according to what is established in the regulation. So it's all under control. Let me just add to this. Regarding over-contracting, yes, in some companies. One example is Piratininga. We have a relevant surplus. But here, basically, given a quote, allocation and the migration of customers to the free market, which is actually involuntary. This is not a thing that worries us. All of the surplus that we have is an involuntary surplus that has no impact whatsoever on our results. Oh, excellent. Thank you. So when you talk about the regulatory EBITDA, You think it is performing? You think it's overperforming, or is it compatible with the regulatory EBITDA of the other companies, Paulista, RGE? We're performing in keeping with the regulatory EBITDA, but just a little bit. And regarding the regulatory WACC in Q3, was it penalized in any way? No. When we defined a WACC of 8.09, it would be valid until the end of this year of 2019. So all tariff reviews of our group that happened in 2018 or Piratininga now in 2019, we remained with a WACC of 8.09, and this will continue until the end of the cycle for 4 years of Piratininga and 5 years in the case of all of the other companies, Paulista and RGE. And for the next cycle, have you defined anything? Is this being discussed? Well, there is an open public hearing that will be held today, and this topic will be discussed. We are following this up close, but there is no definition regarding the new WACC. Oh, excellent. Thank you very much. As a reminder, if you want to ask a question, please press star 1. This concludes the question and answer session. I would like to turn the floor back to Mr. Gustavo Estrella to proceed with his closing statements. Please go ahead, sir. Very well. Again, I would like to thank all of you for joining us in this earnings conference call and for your questions. I just want to stress some important points about our company. We completed the process of acquisition of CPFL Renovables shares, and as we said in the share issuance process of the company in June, this is a consolidation process in the CPFL group, bringing some important benefits to the group. Some of them are already being felt. We are finalizing the integration process of both teams, CPFL Renovables and Energia. So we are going to have a cost benefit, particularly as of 2020. We have an important expectation of reducing our funding cost. We have a program of debt exchange at Renovables with an expectation of reducing the cost of our debt. And also in the integration and merger process between CPFL Geração and Renovables, the benefits will be captured along 2020. So this is a process that has been kicked off. The expectation is that the process will be ended by the end of 2020, and the expectation is that it will bring good results for the group. For 2020, we expect the economy to rally. The reforms are being now taking place. The pension reform was approved. We see in its infancy, signs of consumption resumption for the industry, and the expectation for next year is that we're going to have the economy rebounding more strongly, and this will have a reflex on power consumption and a good effect on our commercial losses and delinquency rates. In terms of opportunities, I think the group is looking at new investments. We are going to have the December transmission auction, and we will take part. We are monitoring and we are paying attention to opportunities in the renewable generation segment, particularly now with the integration of CPFL Renovables, and also in distribution. Now, if there is an interesting asset in the market, we'll look into it. So this is the outlook for 2019, and we have a more positive expectation regarding 2020. Again, I would like to thank all of you for your participation, and have a good day. That concludes CPFL Energia conference call for today. Thank you very much for your participation, and have a good day.